Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
Yeah, welcome back to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. And available wherever fine podcasts are, be sure to hit that subscribe button or the notify bell next to it on YouTube. Or if you're listening to the show on the podcast, on a podcast app, be sure to leave us a rating or a review. It really does help the show. Another good way to support Going In Raw is by hitting us up on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. We have a whole wealth of reward tiers. If you kick us some money, you get something in return. For example, you could watch this show as a live stream. All of our recaps are available as live streams. We usually get between 40 and 60, 70 people watching.
Yeah.
And it's a fun group. We have a fun pre-show and a post-show. It's really great. We're also available at Pro Wrestling Tees. Now we got a bunch of these shirts. I got some new shirts, Larson.
Ooh.
Look at those shirts right there. Look
at
that.
I've seen them already. I don't need to look at them.
I find it funny, the Golden Shuffle shirt and then a very colorful Going In Raw shirt. I'm going to say this. Usually, we have not received any confirmation. We don't have insiders at Pro Wrestling Tees. It'd be great if we did, but we don't. Usually, they do a big week-long WrestleMania sale. At least they did last week. Big WrestleMania sale.
Last year.
And so, while I would love for you guys to get those shirts now.
Oh, yeah.
I would prefer you to save some money.
Yes.
Wait 2 weeks or whenever it is, 3 weeks.
Yeah, because those shirts aren't going anywhere.
They're not going anywhere. They're right there. We're going to have some more designs. I think we're actually going to debut the new Going In Raw logo. I mean, it's kind of debuted on Twitter through W.S. Fletcher's account and Robert Stack's account. But we're going to be putting up as shirts before they're actually used on the show.
The real launch. The hard launch. You're not listening to me, are you?
It's going to be WrestleMania recap. But the logo will be available as a shirt WrestleMania week. The week leading up to it. The hard lunch, I heard you. Hard lunch.
Hard lunch, yes.
Hard lunch. Anyways, we have, it's a decent news week.
Yeah.
We're on the road to Mania.
You know, the top story of the week, of course, without a doubt, Daniel Bryan cleared to return to in-ring competition.
Yeah, and the
news. So I think a lot of people, including myself, were really eager to hear the story, or at least, you know, something resembling the story of the backstage machinations that led to his return to the ring. And our first little bit of backstage info comes courtesy of the Wrestling Observer himself, Dave Meltzer, in this week's Observer newsletter.
He's got a fantastic rundown.
Oh, it's like half the newsletter of recapping the entire saga of Daniel Bryan post-retirement trying to get cleared for a return.
Right.
So I might as well kick off here. So we all know kind of the general story. About 2 years ago, he was forced to retire prematurely.
Mm-hmm.
Around the time that he was told that, or asked, I guess, by Vince McMahon to retire. According to the newsletter, there's a couple doctors that said to him, probably too soon to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So Steve thus began his quest to find a way to return to the ring.
Yeah.
As far as what happened just kind of immediately, apparently Daniel Bryan asked Dr. Joseph Maroon to look at him again.
He said, send me to whoever you want me to send. Send me to whoever you want to send me to.
Yeah.
Whoever you trust, send me to those people.
And if they tell me no, at least he gave it an effort.
Yeah. And
I mean, he'd still go on wrestle for New Japan probably, but in terms of a return to WWE, he thought, okay, I'll give it one last shot.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't work. All right, I got this in my back pocket. I can always go to New Japan.
Yeah.
There
are some other interesting bits too. So we all kind of knew that the social media back and forth between Cody Rhodes Daniel Bryan was
maybe to lead up to something.
Was maybe to lead up to the main event of All In, their show on September 1st, and that original plans for All In were to have that show after Daniel Bryan's contract
with
had expired.
With him in the main event, yeah.
Yeah, with him, so he could be in the main event. When they kind of figured that there was a really good chance that he would be cleared because of all this new info that he'd been getting from doctors and all that kind of stuff, that's when they decided to just pull the trigger on September 1st. So that was the day. So I guess like his contract was set to expire on that day, so he couldn't have been.
Well, I mean, it still is set to expire on that day.
Right. Yeah.
Unless he resigns. Yeah.
But he wouldn't have been able to.
Yeah. Make the show.
Make the show.
So anyways, I guess the plan initially was for Dr. Joseph Maroon to evaluate Daniel Bryan on March 27th. And the day before a SmackDown taping at Pittsburgh, and it would have been determined then whether he'd be clear or not. But according to the newsletter, quote, voices from above, likely Vince McMahon, because he's the only one that would think would make this call, insisted on the WrestleMania match situation settled this week and not next, so they could start building toward whatever angle they needed to for match this week and presumably announce it next week. So Daniel Bryan flew from, I think, Abu Dhabi because his appointment got bumped up a week. So now it was March 19th he'd see Joseph Maroon. And then after Maroon did his evaluation and testing, he cleared him.
Said, you're good to go.
He cleared him.
Yeah. Some interesting stuff. Yeah, apparently that brought Daniel tears to, to Daniel Bryan's eyes. Not surprising.
No.
He choked up when he was out there on SmackDown doing the speech. I got choked up as well.
Same.
That was interesting stuff. It was interesting. There was also some other bits that were actually really interesting.
However, it wasn't actually his clearance wasn't actually made official until the following day.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, according to the newsletter, right before WWE publicly announced the decision or that he was cleared. So it seems like it was one of those things that, you know, once the ball got rolling with the doctors Maroon suggested and Maroon himself, it just seemed like bang, bang, bang.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was good to go.
Now, one thing you didn't mention this in the notes here, but is very interesting, because we talked about on the SmackDown recap episode, how, you know, we all kind of sit on pins and needles in terms of, ooh, is he okay? Apparently, according to the newsletter, after every match.
Yeah, I was going
to
get to that.
He will have impact. Okay. I'm already saying it right now.
Well, there's something else here.
He's going to have impact testing, concussion protocols done.
Some more stuff
on his noggin.
Yeah.
Well, it's done. I did it. I already said it. So it's done.
All right. As far as the schedule.
Randy Orton's house schedule.
Well, that's what Meltzer was speculating, but it's unclear whether that's going to be the case or not. I was kind of hoping for a bit of a lighter schedule than that. Like, Larry, just do TV.
And Randy Orton's ever around. What are you talking about? Lighter schedule. Lighter schedule would be like Brock Lesnar.
He gets weekends off. That's my understanding. Orton gets most weekends off. But he'll do the...
It's a great schedule, man.
Oh, yeah. It's great. The midweek house shows, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I guess it'd only really be one, depending on your definition of weekend.
Well, weekend is Saturday and Sunday.
Well, I mean, yeah, typically. But I mean, if you consider Friday part of that, too, if Randy Orton considers...
Some people do. I don't know why people do that.
But anyways, if that's the case, then he's only really working Mondays and Tuesdays. Randy Orton is.
Right.
For the most part, I think he does a larger house show.
Yeah, he does the bigger weekend house shows, yeah.
But
so, yeah, I mean, yeah, 3 days a week, and one of those is like a six-man, two of those are a six-man tag or just a regular tag team match.
Yeah.
That's I think that's smart.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
It's smart to protect him as much as possible, early on at least, until to see how his head holds up.
But yeah, after every single match, they're going to be seeing how his head holds up, you know,
yeah.
So... After everything he does, we're going to be sitting on pins and needles. Like, I wish they'd have, like, on Tout, they would have, like, live, you know, or Periscope. They'd have, like, here it is. That would draw ratings.
Yeah, probably
go
would.
Go to the network. Like, Talking Smack is now, you know, testing Smack.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
to
all
test
about,
out his head.
Yeah, we go after 205 Live. They go backstage to the medical evaluation.
Have you ever read up on what impact testing actually is?
No.
Meaning, I was going to, but I didn't. I don't know what it is. Like, you know.
They don't
x-ray your head every time,
do they? No, I don't think so. That's bad for your head.
That's terrible for your head.
Like on the sidelines of NFL games, you know, they'll check how your pupils
dilate. Right,
right. They'll ask you some questions like, where are you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how many fingers am I holding up to test see how your vision's holding up?
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's considered impact testing.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think that's just more just kind of a really basic test of cognitive function.
Yeah. So it does sound, I mean, they're you know... They're taking the steps that they need to take. I don't know how long. He didn't specify, like, how long until the WWE is confident that he's not getting concussed a lot.
Oh, all right, the impact, this is from impacttest.com. The impact test is a computerized neurocognitive assessment tool to help licensed healthcare providers evaluate and manage suspected concussions. What is a test for a concussion? So it's computerized. Wrestling. So maybe there is some sort of
Are we going to get an Impact test tomorrow when we go see Impact Wrestling?
Well, hey, by the way, my patience.
So this is going up Friday morning. Friday evening, we're going to be in Newark, California for the Impact tapings.
Yeah, man.
At Big Time Wrestling. And so if you're there, say hi.
I think you got to watch a video to learn what it is.
Impact.
I don't have time to watch a video.
Testing.
This is from their website.
Impact testing. I just want to know, like.
Look, this could be just called a Google search with Steven Larson.
Little is known about, let's see here, to examine if money. Yeah, I have no idea.
All right, we'll do that in our own
time. A lot
of
big words.
We're wasting
here.
People's time here because they came here to listen to us talk about wrestling, not droll on about trying to find out how an impact test is conducted.
Like, do they initiate impact? Do they say, okay, how do you feel after?
No, it's not like a car test dummy thing where they put him. It's nothing like that.
They have like two steel things and go, ding.
I don't think that's what it is.
I feel good.
Feel good.
Do it again.
Did I pass the impact test? You can do it harder. Yes, please.
Put a bucket on his head and go, ding, 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 ding.
I know.
Oh, man.
Say, yeah. Do you see stars? No. Are there little birds flying around your head? No, you're good.
A giant thing.
Oh, yeah, a giant welt.
Like it. What? My dog's over there. You stop it. Stop it. She just tried to talk to us again.
Yeah, I think the more you talk to her, the more she's going to respond to you.
Know. She talks back so much.
Yeah, man.
Anyways, you know where she needs to go? She needs to go into the Lake of Reincarnation, Larson. Talk about our next story.
Yeah, more deletions maybe, perchance. Who knows? Anyways, WrestleZone had an exclusive report about the reception of the Ultimate Deletion.
Deletion and incident.
Backstage in WWE, and that's what they had to say. Quote, after speaking to a reliable source close to the situation, WrestleZone confirmed that there was a backstage belief in WWE that Vince McMahon was worried.
Down there.
Matt Hardy's Ultimate Deletion would bomb on Raw. Hold on a second.
We were told that. We heard that Vince McMahon loved Matt Hardy.
Yes.
Why would he think it would bomb if he sent out, like, people to go shoot that stuff?
And have it as the main event of the show.
And he had it as the main... A big thing right there on your teeth.
What, a food?
You're good. Yeah, it was a food. I don't know. I don't... That... Was he just... I mean, sometimes you take a risk, even though it's against your better judgment, and maybe that's what they're talking about here.
Or it could just be that, you know, he was being cautious as far as approach of how it was going to affect ratings or how it was going to be received, but saying, yeah, we'll see how people take it, is not the same as, oh, this is going to bomb. You know?
That's good. I like that you did the head shake. Oh, this is going to bomb. No, I know. I would think this. Maybe it was, hey, let's put it on for the main event because we put a lot of effort into this thing.
And also, the numbers of the third hour aren't as good as the first 2 hours. But
and why? Like, I don't want anybody to give me any excuses. We're giving this the main event slot. If it bombs, we know that it's not going to work.
Yeah, we know we don't do it anymore. But if it succeeds, and apparently it did, because again, according to WrestleZone, it was the number one trend worldwide for over 2 hours.
Whoa.
and that segment managed to retain over 3 million viewers.
Which Raw has had a hard time doing.
Yeah,
lately.
As I mentioned earlier, usually the third hour is when viewership starts to dip.
Oh, another quick thing on the ratings. We were kind of like off camera when we got the SmackDown ratings.
Oh, yeah, they were up.
We were kind of poo-pooing it a little bit, but I didn't realize that it was actually, it's like best ratings since the draft.
Best and ratings of the year.
And it's third best rating since SmackDown came to USA.
Yeah.
Which is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So,
like in numbers and Raw numbers, like 100,000 viewer increase.
But I remember hearing that the week prior was up significantly from the week before that.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that it held and gained another 100,000 is a pretty big deal.
Yeah, it is.
So just while we were talking about ratings.
The WrestleZone quote can also confirm that it was a struggle to get the Ultimate Deletion on WWE programming, but following the success of it, this could be Hardy's foot in the door to produce more content like it. I hope so. He recently said that he would delete Vince McMahon.
See, I'm really glad that it did really well. It is, it was different. It was fun. There are any number. We were originally, our count out this week for tomorrow was going to be top 10 matches that should happen at the Hardy compound, like more deletions. And then Daniel Bryan got cleared and was like, no, we're going with the dream matches.
Yeah.
Cause that's going to do well.
Yeah.
So, but no, this is that's really good. Like, I don't know. It's if the whole Vince, like being skeptical about it thing is true, It kind of once again illustrates. I mean, they brought record ratings to Impact for their time on that channel.
Yeah, Final Deletion.
Yeah. So, I mean, you would think this is what people have been clamoring for.
I know.
Like, why did you bring him over in the first place if you thought that kind of programming would bomb?
I know.
I mean, it's weird. You know, look. People talk crap about dirt sheets, and oftentimes we regurgitate information that contradicts other information.
Because
It's like, why would he have brought him over here if he thought that thing that made him popular again,
I know,
would bomb?
I know.
And then put it in the main event.
I know.
If he didn't want to, if he thought
produce it,
it
at
bomb.
Considerable expense.
Right. Well, at expense.
Well, compared to Impact, considerable expense.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I mean, the production value for Final Deletion was not that much, or Ultimate Deletion was not that much higher than the Final Deletion.
Well, like the
I'm pretty sure it's just like Jeremy Borash and Rebbie Hardy again doing what they were doing.
The Matt Hardy hologram on Vanguard 1 looked much better.
It did. That did actually look much better. That was impressive.
The UI for Vanguard 1 looked a bit better.
Yeah, but that's not.
But it looked very. It was very reminiscent of the Terminator UI had for WrestleMania 31.
So yeah,
that looked very much like a WWE
production.
Could have
template that they had. Yeah,
entirely possible.
Could have been. But, I mean, no, you know, it takes resources and man hours to do that stuff. So I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying, you know. I thought it was great. That was
fun. I thought it was tons of fun.
I want more deletions.
Same. I want all the deletions.
All the deletions. Seth Rollins, deleted.
Yeah, Broken Seth.
That'd be fun, Broken Seth. Anyways, this is a cool, talk about great things like the final Ultimate Deletion.
Yes.
Great Royal Rumbles
maybe
on the WWE Network.
Have the greatest deletion.
Yeah.
Anyways, according to PW Insider, the greatest Royal Rumble, of course, which is going to be emanating from Saudi Arabia, I want to say April 27th.
WWE apparently made a lot of money on this.
Yep, will be available on the WWE Network. According to PW Insider, one of their readers noted that, quote, he went to cancel his WWE Network subscription, and when he did, a screen pointing out all the future live programming that would be on the network came up, including a listing for the greatest Royal Rumble, and PW Insider was able to corroborate that themselves by also trying to cancel their subscription.
I thought, that's good. Everybody try to cancel your subscriptions. See if we can keep on confirming this.
Yes.
I swear to God, I thought Roman Reigns said that the greatest Rumble was going to be on the network too. I could be totally
Did you get an email from him saying that?
It was a DM. He slid into my DM.
Whoa.
Big dog here.
This is my yard.
He's like, did you hear I'm going to win the greatest Royal Rumble of all time? I was like, no, Roman, really? He's like, yeah.
Well, that's kind of a spoiler. He's trying to give us a scoop.
You can watch it.
Anyways, but Sky Sports just announced today on Thursday that it, quote, it has been confirmed the greatest Royal Rumble will be shown live on Sky Sports Box Office, and full details on how you can see the show will be revealed in due course. And then Lawler, on his podcast, said that himself and JR, Jim Ross, will reunite, provide commentary for the show, and that it will air live.
Ah, I was right. Sportskeeda has.
On live television in Saudi Arabia.
Let's see. Roman Reigns was a guest on Jim Norton and Sam Roberts' show on Sirius XM. And he said, I don't like how Sportskeeda breaks down.
I really like your slid into your DM story better.
I'm sorry. I should have lied. But we kind of can't do that anymore. He said he's, and amongst other things, seemingly confirming the greatest Royal Rumble will be available for fans around the world in WWE Network. Why don't they have a quote here? I don't have to listen to something. Oh, here you go. Wrestling. Let's see if Wrestling Inc. has it better. Let's see who wins. Power Rank. Wrestling Inc. versus Sports Keita. Yeah, thank you, Wrestling Inc., for actually giving us the quote.
What's the quote?
Big dog. We have South Africa and Saudi Arabia with the greatest battle royal of all time. So that's going to be huge. Hopefully I'm not giving away spoilers here. Breaking news happening now. But I think it's going to be a huge WWE Network special.
Oh.
It'd been something else if he was like, no, it's not. It's not going to be on the network. Oh, my bad. Big dog.
I know.
Now it has to be because Roman said it.
It's my yard, Vince.
Yeah, I know, exactly. It's my production truck,
when
Vince.
I say goes. Big dog.
So, yeah. They also said they're trying to get, this doesn't say it here, but I heard they're trying to get Jericho and Undertaker for it.
Yeah, saw that too.
Because it is, I think it was the newsletter, because it is the greatest Royal Rumble of all time.
Yeah.
Why
not aim higher? Stone Cold, CM Punk, The Rock.
Well, title shot.
Shawn Michaels.
Realistically, title shot.
They're not going to have a title shot attached to this Rumble.
Why not?
Because it takes the air out of the actual Royal Rumble.
Nah, it's just a one-time thing, man. This is the greatest Royal Rumble.
I understand that. Well, then it should have a greater prize than a title shot.
A title. A new title.
Ownership of the company.
Ownership. Well, that's going a bit much. They should make up a new title. The greatest Royal Rumble.
The greatest champion.
The greatest champion. Yeah. The greatest champion. It's cross-brand.
Yeah.
There you go.
Sort of like my universal title idea.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Well, every year is like the King of the Ring tournament, and then once a year, the universal title is defended.
The greatest rumbler.
Yeah.
The guy who rumbles the best.
Great champion.
Great champion rumbler.
Great championship belt.
They make a Roman Reigns title and just put it on him.
Oh, I know. It's just this is my yard title.
Yeah, exactly. You get a chunk of yard.
Well, they take some AstroTurf, and that's what the strap's made out of.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
We should do that on 2K18.
Yeah, it's easy to do. They have that.
Oh, that's a good idea.
What, this is my yard title?
Who's he fighting at Armenia? Cassius Ohno?
Yeah.
For a spot in the Shield?
Yeah.
All right. Good.
Good.
Yeah, let's talk about somebody who's not going to be at the greatest Royal Rumble.
Well, you never know.
He might be.
He might be. More from Pro Wrestling Insider as they report that despite his recent injury and despite recently gaining an ownership stake in Aero Lucha, quote, several WWE sources
so stuck on
have indicated that Rey Mysterio will be traveling to Birmingham, Alabama later this week in order to have his partially torn bicep checked out in advance of Mysterio potentially signing a new WWE deal. I'm not stuck on the Aero Lucha thing. I just think it's funny.
It is funny. No, that's why I'm kind of stuck on it, too. It's just hilarious.
Yeah, I know. So it seems like it's still full bore on Rey signing with WWE, assuming they can come to an agreement on the schedule that he will be working. Yeah. Of course, you have to allow time for him to oversee his duties at Aero Lucha as part owner.
You know, when you're an owner of a company, I can tell you, I've been a co-owner of this company, and I own my own comic book publishing company.
It's a full-time job.
A couple of years ago. No, not the comic book thing. That was a part-time job because I needed a full-time job to finance it.
Yeah.
To throw money at it and not see anything in return.
Yeah.
This company is a full-time job. We don't need, thankfully...
We don't need a part-time WWE schedule.
We don't need a part-time
supplement or income.
Exactly.
Is what you're saying.
Because there would be no show if that were the case. Yeah, that's cool. Aero Lucha is not going to get in the way.
Doesn't seem like it.
Doesn't seem like it.
So I wonder how often he would be wrestling for Aero Lucha. First of all, because I think that was part of the deal, was he'd be part owner and also perform at times.
Yeah, he's got a $20 stake in the company.
Yeah. But also, I'm starting to like that WWE is not so stringent on seeing that their performers are exclusive to them. I mean, if you're a full-timer, yes, but if you're a part-timer in the case of Jericho, you know, if you're willing to do short-term deals or buy appearance deals, go work elsewhere.
It's kind of a bigger deal, like, in sort of personally, it's, to me, I like it better that it's a bigger deal for the UK guys. Are we talking about the UK thing?
Oh, I didn't have added in here, but we can, yeah.
Okay. So, like, yeah, we'll just dovetail on the UK thing. The Wrestling Observer also has a fairly extensive write-up on the fact that the WWE seemingly still has plans for a UK show of some type and some sort of training facility or even, like, a temporary training facility in the UK. They signed Zach Gibson, who was going to be he was going to be the centerpiece for Five Star Wrestling, but then they tanked. They went under. They had problems. In the latest Botchamania, there's a lot of great Five Star Wrestling stuff, including a guy seemingly trying to wrestle while completely concussed. It seems like Zach Gibson's going to be, I think he just signed a deal too. And then their big five, Mark Andrews, Wolfgang, Pete Dunne, Trent Seven, and Tyler Bate, all had their deals financially increased.
Yeah.
I mean, they were making kind of pennies, to be honest. They were making like around $20,000 a year, which is why they were able to go out and do other stuff. Because they have to make actual money.
Yeah, yeah.
But he said in one case, and he didn't specify who, Pete Dunne, it went from $20,000 to $50,000.
Even still, for Pete Dunne, that's... Not enough.
Yeah, but he can... I agree if he's full-time with the WWE. But the fact that he can still go out and do...
Considering how often he's on NXT these days, I wonder if that's going to start to change, though.
Yeah, maybe. That could be.
But that's $50,000 downside
from
WWE. And I don't know how many people have bought that shirt that they put out of Pete Dunne that's not very good.
I can almost guarantee...
Just as easily go to his awesome Big Cartel...
He probably made more money off of his Big Cartel shop than he did off his WWE contract. like last year. That wouldn't surprise me at all because number one, those shirts were amazing.
Yeah.
And number two, he was talking about those things selling out.
Yeah.
If that dude did a run of like 1,000 of them, then that alone is about his WWE contract.
Yeah.
Assuming he cleared $20 each.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool. That's good. I mean, it's sort of a, they've had dates booked in the past that they just let drop because they didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I suppose it's possible, but the fact that they re-up those guys, signed on a couple of new guys, because I think it was Zach Gibson, I think one other person, I forget who, indicates to me that they're still in the plans.
I know, I kind of enjoy having Pete Dunne on NXT.
Yeah, me too, I know.
Kind of want him to stay there.
I know, me too. And like, I kind of don't, I mean, I like, I would love to have like a UK show.
Yeah.
But at this point, Pete Dunne should be like the Asuka of that show. Like, he just sort of shows up every once in a while. Give him like a mid-card belt, like a Northampton belt.
All right.
I have no idea. I don't know what's like a Wales belt. A Welsh belt.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. Because like NXT is going to have their belt.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to have their like Welsh belt.
All right.
The King of Wales title. I wonder if any of the UK guys are Welshmen.
Yeah, Mark Andrews.
Oh, he's a Welshman. Mm-hmm. There you go. Mm-hmm. Good job. Look at you. Or a Scottish title. Isn't Wolfgang a Scottish guy?
I believe so.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Scots title.
Yeah.
I don't know. For each territory.
Yeah, that's good.
Several mid-card belts.
Yeah.
Anyways.
And if you win them all, then you're the United Kingdom.
Then you're
champion.
The United Kingdom because it's the United.
Yeah.
Right.
You have to unite all the belts.
That's good. An English title. What, and then like, what, Northern Ireland? Is that what it is also? But then not Ireland proper.
No, Ireland's its own country.
They're their own thing.
Yeah. Anyways.
It's good stuff.
On to other good stuff. We're hoping Strong Style Evolves happened this weekend. Unfortunately, Rey Mysterio is not going to be there because he is injured. However, someone from the United Kingdom will be taking his place, and that person is Will Ospreay.
Good job.
Is replacing Rey Mysterio in the match against Jushin Thunder Liger.
I'll be honest with you.
You can say it.
That actually increased my odds of going. I'm definitely going now.
Yeah, well, you were going before.
Well, no.
That was never a doubt.
No. I said, once I found out that there was a Roscoe's in Long Beach, or once I remembered and was reminded that there was a Roscoe's in Long Beach, that brought my odds up significantly into like the mid-80s.
Yeah.
And then I was holding out for the winner of the New Japan Cup, Zack Sabre Jr., found out he's going to be there in tag action.
Yeah, with his stablemate and mentor? Not really.
Oh,
Suzuki.
Suzuki. Yeah. Well, I get kind of. Well, I don't know.
No, not really. I guess
he is to Suzuki, I think, as Switchblade is to Okada.
All right.
A strong signing of a younger dude.
Yeah,
but not necessarily a mentor. But I guess during this time, he's probably kind of learning
from Suzuki. Yeah,
that's a mentorship.
At least in kayfabe.
Of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure for realsies too.
Yeah, probably.
Are you kidding me?
But not like a full-on mentorship program.
Right, no. Not like an official paperwork stuff.
No.
No, I agree with that. But it should be a lot of fun.
Wait, in that episode of Seinfeld when there was mentors and protégés, there was no paperwork filed.
That you know of. That was filmed. You don't know that.
Well, I mean, I assume they would have talked about that.
Paperwork's boring, man.
It is boring.
So, yeah, Will Ospreay versus Jushin Thunder Liger. I think that's amazing. The main event is fantastic. We're about to do predictions.
Yeah, I just did all this.
Good job.
There's a lot of matches. We don't have to do confidence points for this one.
No, I don't want to do confidence points for that.
All right. So here's the card. We're going to go through the card and predict the outcomes of these matches. First.
Are any titles on the line?
The United States
title?
U.S. title. That's it. Roppongi 3K.
Who's currently the tag champions? Is it?
Evil and Sonata.
Oh.
But Evil's still out hurt.
Who's the sixth man?
It is still Bullet Club?
Is it the Hung Bucks?
No, they're six man in Ring of Honor.
Oh.
I think it's Fale and then Gorilla of the Destiny.
Gotcha.
And then junior heavyweight tag champs are Kanemaru and Taichi, I believe. Anyways, Roppongi 3.
Wait, what? It's not showing you anymore?
No.
It's who?
Suzuki-gun, Kanemaru, and Taichi.
Oh.
Taichi's great.
It's so hard to keep up with it.
I know. Anyways, Roppongi 3K and Rocky Romero taking on SoCal Uncensored.
Not the website.
No.
Which I used to... I'm amazed that... Well, okay, I'll put it this way. I am pleasantly surprised that SoCal Uncensored
still
is still
around, I know.
Yeah, I know. And it looks the exact same as it did before. 20 years ago, I used to follow that page.
Yeah.
20 years ago.
What?
I love when you do that. It cracks me up because you're so not subtle about it.
My vision is not that great. I'm getting old, man.
Showing you what's going on over here.
You think it's Roppongi 3K and Rocky Romero?
Okay, so SoCal Uncensored is Daniels, Kazarian, and they have like 100 years between the two of them.
Scorpio Sky.
And another 50 years. So, yeah, I think the guys that are actually in New Japan are going to go over in this match.
It's this match taking place in Southern California. I'm going with SoCal Uncensored. Doesn't make any sense because none of the three guys in SoCal Uncensored have anything to do with New Japan.
I know. Which anyway, why are they not going over? You're crazy. Because I mean, I do appreciate your logic, your territorial,
such as it is.
Your territorial logic.
That's the only reason I'm making that pick.
But
next.
You know, a lot of people are flying in from this.
I know. Yeah, I'm aware.
All right,
including SoCal Uncensored.
Yes. Exactly.
Gato and Hirooki Goto.
Hold on, I'll never forget. I need to find it on YouTube because we could do like a reaction thing to it. The backyard wrestling documentary where Christopher Daniels shows up and he's like judging everybody.
Oh yeah.
And but he shows up in like his trench coat looking like the fallen angel.
Yeah,
you know?
I know.
It's like, are you in character or not? I can't tell. It's a documentary. Anyways, Gato and Goto
versus Juice Robinson and David Finlay.
Well, Gato really likes Juice Robinson and Finlay. So they're so going over. And because Gato's the booker, he's the king guy there. And he's not going to put himself over.
No,
young
but
talent.
He put the never open weight champion Hirooki Goto over.
Is he still the never open weight
guy?
Yeah,
I think he and Juice are going to have a feud for that belt.
Oh, okay.
So I'm picking.
Oh,
Chaos.
My, you're insane. You're 0-2.
There's no confidence points. This is just for fun, Steve.
I know.
Next, Chuck Taylor. The best follow in wrestling Twitter.
This is probably my favorite tag team of all time. Although, did you see the Okada gif where he said,
me and
Chucky T are revolutionizing tag team wrestling?
I know, it's great.
I love that. I love Okada so much.
I know. Like, Chucky T is like the newest, basically the newest member of Chaos.
Yeah.
And he's embraced.
And, well, Okada's sticking it to Trent.
I know.
That's what he's doing.
I know. It's great. Anyways, Chuck Taylor and Yano versus Killer Elite Squad. I hope I'm far enough into the stands not to get any Lance Archer spit on me.
Oh, I need to tweet at Lance Archer.
Fine, go ahead.
I'm going to tell him.
Go ahead.
I got to find your seats first. Kids.
Killer Elite Squad.
Kids. Oh, man. Yeah, I can't. There's no other way this can go. Killer Elite Squad wins.
Although Chuck Taylor, former, current PWG champion.
It doesn't matter, dude.
All right.
Doesn't matter. I'm using the same logic as why SoCal Uncensored isn't going to.
All right, fine.
Doesn't matter. They're from LA.
Next, in a very interesting match, Cody Rhodes and Marty Scurll against the Gorillas of Destiny.
Bullet Club is not fine, contrary to popular belief.
No, it's not.
But I feel like Rhodes and Scurll need to pick up a win at some point.
Here.
Because they just keep on getting. So, yeah, it's going to be them. How much kissing is going to happen in this match?
I don't know.
I feel like Tama Tonga might be kissed by Cody or
maybe.
Marty Scurll.
Maybe.
I feel like that's going to happen.
It could happen.
This will be a really interesting dynamic. It'll be a lot of fun.
I know. Next, Taguchi Japan. So you got Taguchi, Tanahashi, I think Dragon Lee, taking on LIJ. No evil, though, I don't believe.
Right.
So it'll be
Naito's not Ibushi.
And Takahashi, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, taking time bombs there, too.
Wait, how many people are in this match? Do we know?
I think it's 4-4.
4-4, okay. Oh, I love the ticking time bomb.
It's LIJ, man.
Yeah, man. Sign me up for LIJ, of course. That's not even a question. And Naito's going to get one of the biggest reactions.
Oh, yes.
People love him, man.
Yeah, he's awesome. Ospreay wins against Liger.
Hold on a second. What's your logic on that?
I mean, he's a champ. It's a non-title match, but still, he's a champion.
It's a non-title match. So.
I understand that. Let me ask you this. If it's Liger versus Mysterio, who is going over?
This is different. That's two legends.
I understand.
This is a legend and a younger guy. And this is like a celebration as opposed to anything that matters.
I understand that, but also Liger is usually in matches with young lions these days.
Yeah, okay. I'll split with you on this one. I'll say Liger.
Wow. Next.
I have more confidence points in this than I do in SoCal Uncensored.
Oh, if you're doing confidence points, that'd be zero. Zero. Anyways, Chaos, Okada, and Ishii taking on Sabre and Suzuki.
You know what's the most fun about doing predictions on New Japan is that, like, we barely are even able to keep up with it.
I know.
And so it's like our logic is so
flimsy.
So flimsy, exactly.
Non-existent, in fact.
Oh, man.
I'm saying
Sabre
and Suzuki.
Yeah, it's Sabre Suzuki, and this is going to be a freaking phenomenal match.
I know.
This is going to be outstanding.
I know.
God, man. Four of my favorite guys. Are you kidding me?
This is going to be great.
I need to get a Zack Sabre Jr. shirt. Like pronto.
I already have one.
Good job.
I bought it from the man himself.
And didn't he, did you show him a picture of Zoe of your dog?
No, I should have, though.
You should have. I'm sure he would have really appreciated it. That's good.
Yeah.
But, you know, going on further and saying, you'll appreciate this, Zach. It's my baby.
Look at my awesome pug.
Look at my baby. Look at my human baby. And it's a picture of Zoe.
Look at my awesome dog.
Yeah.
Next, Jay White, the U.S. champ, taking on Hangman Page. Jay White's winning.
So, they're not going to have a title change hands at this thing?
I don't think so.
Jay White just won this thing.
I know.
It's not going to go back to Hangman.
No. Go back. He's never had it.
I mean, it's not going to go back to Bullet Club.
No.
Yeah, Jay White wins.
Jay White wins. And finally, our main event, the Golden Lovers, Kenny Omega, Kota Ibushi versus Young Bucks. I'm going Golden Lovers.
It's got to be Golden Lovers, but man. When are the Young Bucks are moving to heavyweight.
Yeah, this is a heavyweight tag.
Yeah, match. I know.
Is it going to be an easy transition for Young Bucks?
Evidently not.
All right, you're going Golden Lovers?
I don't know.
Well, you better make up your mind because I put Golden Lovers there. And we can't move on to answer questions until that's finalized.
People are going to boo the crap. They can't. They're not going to leave on booing. It's Golden Lovers.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Golden Lovers. You know, I think it'd make more sense for their first matchup to be the Young Bucks winning. Anyways. But boy, that's going to be a
barn burner.
That's going to be a hell of a match.
You want to answer some questions?
How many, did they say how many tickets this sold?
5,300, I think.
Oh, is that it? Okay.
Yeah,
oh,
I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
The Cow Pals is the one that might.
Yeah, if that show happens, it's going to be a ton.
And that's supposed to be, okay. When do the all-in tickets go on sale?
May is what I heard.
Okay.
Yeah.
If New Japan can crack 10,000 at the Cow Palace, if that actually happens, I'd have to think all-in can crack 10,000.
Mm-hmm.
At least for the first time they do it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're going to make it a yearly thing or not.
Yeah,
putting on a show is probably a pain in the ass.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if the whole motivation behind doing the show is just to prove Dave Meltzer wrong.
They're going all-in?
Yeah.
On the one show?
Yeah.
All right.
Question time.
Question time. I put this call out on the Twitter. So keep an eye on our Twitter, at RealGoingInRaw. Every Monday and Thursday, I usually post these. Question. Let's see here. Gustavo Topetti. Do you think Daniel's still going to leave WWE when his contract is up or not?
No. I'd be very surprised. WWE still gives him the largest platform.
I would, however, think that there is no way in hell he's going to be like, you're not allowed to freeze my contract anymore. He's got all the leverage in the world now.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that he'll probably adhere to all the concussion protocol stuff.
Yeah.
Though I doubt they would waffle on that. But I'm sure he'll probably say, if you don't clear me, I want a clear path out.
Yeah. Hopefully for him, he'll sign a one-year deal. He'll just do it year by year.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, if put a clause in there that if he's not cleared, then the contract is voided.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Something like that.
Oh, what a great question. From Stee. They call me Stee. What female superstar could do a male superstar's gimmick better? Kind of has me stumped on this one.
Yeah, me too.
Sasha Banks could do Demon Balor better than Finn Balor.
She has a mask on. That's why you're saying that.
Look, perfect. It's perfect.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm trying to think of something Shayna Baszler could do.
Oh.
She could do... Oh!
Baron Corbin.
What is his gimmick exactly?
Lone Wolf End of Days.
Lone Wolf End of Days? That's actually a really good one. That's actually a really good answer now that I think about it. Well, good job. Well done. Let's see here. Doc McThuggins wants to know, what veteran do you think deserves a thank you title run? Do you think Goldust should have like... They should have given Goldust and Cody the tag titles and then seen Goldust on his way.
I thought they did win
the tag title. Oh, did they?
I thought they did.
He should have been done after that. You're right. They did.
What veteran should be given a thank you title reign?
Well, if this was Randy Orton's thank you United States title reign, yeah, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah. How about this?
What?
Let's say in a year this Woken Matt Hardy stuff really takes off, give Matt Hardy a WWE title reign. He's never won the top title.
There you go. That works. Yeah, that's it really takes say. Off, yeah. Billy Smith, when Aleister Black goes to Maine, where does he go? Raw.
Yeah.
And who is his first opponent?
It'll probably be Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, okay. Or Samoa Joe. I'll say Samoa Joe.
Or if he goes to SmackDown, it'll be Dolph.
Exactly right. God damn it.
No, being Dolph to Raw just to have Aleister Black's first feud.
Exactly. Oh, man. Sean Tendo 82. With Daniel Bryan cleared, when the draft occurs, what do you think WWE's going to do? Keep him on SmackDown or move him to the A show?
I hope they keep him on SmackDown.
Yeah, me too. Keep him on SmackDown. I want to deal with all those monsters over there.
I know. They got to set up for Nakamura Bryan.
SmackDown needs to be the wrestler show. Like, yeah. They need to pull the trigger on that.
I mean, yeah. It needs a more defined identity.
Yeah, exactly. Not just other blue show.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Ooh, good question. Tim Spulak. If you had to make a faction with Daniel Bryan as the head of it, who would be in it?
Ooh.
What show would they be on? Who would they
Smackdown.
Take on? And why would it be Balor Club? That's what he says. Yeah.
Move Balor Club to SmackDown.
Yes.
Have AJ join up with them.
Okay, yeah.
And then it'd be Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
How about this? Here's an idea. Daniel Bryan,
mm-hmm.
Kevin Owens.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Sami Zayn.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
And then Mount Rushmore Wrestling.
Yeah, Adam Cole.
And Adam Cole.
And Adam Cole. Oh, that'd be so good.
Mount Rushmore Wrestling.
That'd be so flipping good. That'd be good. Justin Wern, what crowd chant needs to be retired more? The what chants? It's the what chance. He said, or CM Punk. It's the what chance.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What chance?
Those are
sure.
infuriating at this point.
Yeah, what chance need to stop?
Let's see here. Oh, crap.
Oh, no.
I lost it.
You messed it all up.
I lost it. There we go. Here we go. Oh, man. This is my favorite question of all time.
What is it?
If WCW still existed, who would be the champions today?
Tim Storm.
Nick Aldis and Josephus. Josephus would be the champion.
Oh, man. Let me think. He's been out of business, what, 2001?
Yeah. Like,
things have been completely different.
Cody Rhodes would be their champion.
Okay.
Leave WWE instead of going to Ring of Honor. Go to WCW.
All right, there you go.
He's their champion.
Good answer.
And in the women's division, Emma Tennille Dashwood? Is
yeah.
that her name?
Yeah. So you're just pretty much saying Ring of Honor would be WCW?
Yeah, pretty much. SoCal Uncensored would be the tag champion. Oh, man. They have to be aware that it's a website, right?
Oh, I know.
You would think so.
I
Oh, I like this. Tony D asks, because I would say yes. Should Curt Hawkins break his losing streak by winning the Andre the Giant Battle Royal?
That'd be pretty funny.
Yes, I think it'd be amazing. Like, you've said this before. There's no stakes involved. They get a giant trophy. Who cares?
Yeah.
The crowd. You want to know who'll get the biggest pop for winning that thing?
Curt Hawkins.
Curt freaking Hawkins. That's who. You kidding me? Then he can continue like a win streak on main event.
Yeah. That could be the Curt Hawkins show.
Yeah. At Trix203, could you see Johnny Gargano as WWE champion down the road? Really difficult for me to imagine that.
WWE champion, maybe. If SmackDown is the wrestling show.
Yeah, okay. Then, yeah. If all things are equal, then maybe, yeah.
Yeah. The way the brands are split now, you'd have a harder time getting the Universal Championship.
I'll agree with that, yeah. I mean, the one thing... I went back. I think Pacitti from Cultaholic tweeted out like a video, a promo that Daniel Bryan gave when he...
Oh, we got eliminated from NXT, right?
Yeah. And it was great because he started to talk about, he says, Daniel Bryan might be done, but you haven't seen the last of Bryan Danielson. And it was just as good as he is now. So smooth, so personable. And as much as I love Johnny Gargano, Daniel Bryan is a once-in-a-generation personality, a guy mm-hmm. that you hear him talk, and you instantly love who he is and want the best for him.
Mm-hmm.
Gargano is great, but that intangible charisma Daniel Bryan has, and you cannot replicate it.
Mm-mm. Cannot.
And that's why, you know, he's always in a conversation if he's an active wrestler.
Yeah.
Ooh, my goodness. This is a good question. We will end on this one.
All right.
Jesse James Helsius. I was introduced to you guys when you were doing 10 for the win and instantly was hooked by your personalities. What was the vibe when you stopped working there? Was it scary or was it exciting starting a new chapter? It was both. When we got laid off, and it was like the great unknown for like 2 weeks, because then we got kind of brought back to produce some stuff.
Yeah.
And so we had like income after, like, you know, when that happened again. But for that initial moments, like, I kind of realized that that was a necessary thing for us if we wanted to really reach another level
mm-hmm.
where we weren't just making, you know, we'll be eligible for a couple percent every year in a raise and stuff like that.
If we wouldn't be in control of our own fates.
Yeah. But that being said, you know, especially when we were doing gaming stuff, it's such a scary landscape because there's so much out there and it's so fickle.
Yeah.
That it was kind of scary. Like, what are we going to be able to do this? Like it seemed a little bit like Mission Impossible at first.
Well, we kind of operate on the assumption that, well, with Machinima, we were known for the gaming stuff, so we should do that, even though I don't think either of us really, that was really the direction we wanted to go in.
Yeah.
But we thought, okay, this is what we're known for, so this is what we got to do. And so we tried doing the gameplay stuff, but it just wasn't us.
Yeah.
It just wasn't us.
Yeah. Yeah, so. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how we would have been able to make a go of that, like, at all.
We had to get on the ground floor or something like Fortnite.
Even like, yeah, I know. Like, because the longevity factor when it comes to gaming stuff, it's like, man, you always have to be
out in front of things.
Out in front of things, you know?
But then at the same time, you don't want to... There's been numerous channels. For example, Minecraft. When Minecraft blew up and it sent a bunch of YouTubers into the stratosphere, immensely popular... And then you're stuck in a situation where either you just do Minecraft content for the rest of your life or you venture out and do other things and risk alienating that entire audience. But like doing Minecraft videos for 10 years, that's got to be, there's serious burnout
and
involved in that.
As you can see, like, it's not exactly like there's a lot of people booming at that still,
mm-hmm.
you know? So that's not even really, I don't even know, that's like sticking with one game exclusively for 10 years just seems pretty dubious.
I know.
You know? And on top of that, like, how old is that ninja guy? Was he like 12, 13?
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, he's probably his early 20s or something.
Yeah.
30 at most. And then he's been doing it forever, and he makes $500,000 a month.
I know.
Saw that on the TV.
Yeah. Thanks to Fortnite, huh?
But for every one of him,
there's thousands.
Oh, tens if not hundreds of thousands of channels who are just struggling right now to even be monetized.
I mean, we knew dudes back in the day who had like, you know, a million and more subscribers. And, you know, now they're doing hardly anything. Like, so many people have washed out, and it's a difficult situation to look at that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Something like we figured it out.
We kind of got into the pro wrestling scene, I think, at the right time before. You know, I mean, there were channels operating, but I don't feel like there was as many as there are now.
Oh, I kind of think that...
I mean, even that I'm not sure of.
Yeah.
But it just felt like it was a matter of a couple of videos that really catapulted us.
Yeah, that was kind of different, yeah.
And then when we did started doing the countdowns, wrestling theme ones, and they were shorter, more like 10 for the win, mm-hmm. they would do really well for us seemingly immediately.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, yeah.
So, but at the same time, I feel like if we started taking that approach to the countouts now, scripted, shorter episodes, they wouldn't do the numbers they did back then.
Yeah, I know. I mean, YouTube is weird that way. Like, I think it, I don't know. I mean, this is sort of a dry conversation, I guess, but, you know, it's the end of Going in Raw, so who cares? Or it's the end of the episode anyways.
It's the end of Going in Raw.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know. I kind of wonder if the YouTube algorithm, like, figures out what you do. Like what you're known for and doesn't really, because so like the, I know it's scary, but it wouldn't surprise me because the Daniel Bryan Daily News short, right? It was like 2.5 minutes or something,
yeah.
right? We had done something like what blew us up in the first place was that Paige getting arrested video.
Yeah.
And did like 400,000 or something.
Yeah.
Did like crazy numbers.
Yeah.
And I agree. I don't think something like that could, I mean, we let the one where like the What Culture guys left, that did a lot of numbers.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
That's
like the only
I know,
daily one that
short
did,
form one that did any good
numbers of any consequence.
And I just honestly wonder if YouTube looks at us and says, okay, well, you guys typically have a 20, you know, whatever our
watch time is,
a longer watch time, a podcast level watch time, and then looks at a video that's like 3 minutes. And then after like 24 hours, like, okay, well, this isn't what you usually do. So we're not going to push it anymore.
Could be.
I have no idea. Algorithms are weird, man.
Yeah, man, I don't get them.
They're taking over the world.
The only person I trust with algorithm talk is Paul Ellering, because he knows the algorithm.
He knows the algorithm.
I'm just trying to see where...
Cultaholic got 110,000 on Daniel Bryan. What did WrestleTalk do? Yeah, 157.
I'm trying to see if
that's what they're known for.
Well, ours is on the first page of search results, at least. That's what I was looking for.
Oh, okay, yeah. But then, like, WrestleTalk and Cultaholic, like, their thing, for the most part, I mean, I know they both have podcasts, but I think they're weekly.
Oh, it's short
thing
form.
Is short form content.
Yeah.
So I think YouTube probably pushes that because that's what they do.
Entirely possible.
So it's very sophisticated technology, yes. Anyways, that's it for the show.
That's it.
There's a little, some YouTube primer, some YouTube education for you guys.
Yeah, it's a constantly evolving landscape, put it mildly.
Nightmare. It's a minefield.
Minefield, yes.
Talk to you guys later.
Bye, everybody.